Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Trucking Questions from the Audio Road with Kevin Rutherford. This is the show that puts the money where it belongs, back in your pocket. You can ask questions about trucks, money, fuel mileage, maintenance, tires, tax, technology, or anything else about the business of trucking. Here we go. Let's head on down the Audio Road.
Hey there, I'm hosting the show tonight. Rico he might not be on till the last part of it, but I'm gonna start the show for Rico tonight, and I'll sort of start it off the way Rico does it and let you know that looking at an email that I got from DAT. I don't think it's posted on their website, but it is an email I got from them. And for the spot van rate is, for the third week in a row, it's maintained. It's $2 per mile for the spot van rates, and which is really good. I'll talk about that a little bit as I go through this. For it to maintain $2 per mile, and I was in a conversation with someone on the group, Rate for Mile Masters group. Last name was Hood. I think it was Bill Hood that I had this conversation with, that we were talking back and forth about this. And he said that last week, for it to maintain $2 a mile, he mentioned that that was the school bump, where all the kids go back to school, and that's the reason why we sort of got a little bit of a bump last week at the reefer rate. And we didn't see it, and it was a bump up last week in the reefer, and a van maintained its number, and flatbed last week maintained its number as well. And which is, I would agree with him, that was a good point that he made about back to school stuff. But here we are going into the third week where vans are maintaining $2 per mile, which is great. Great news on that, especially for this time of the year. And going to the spot reefer rate, and for the second week, it maintained its number at 228 per mile. And for spot flatbed rates, we got good news and bad news for those guys that's running the flatbed, and that is that bad news is that it went down. Good news is that you're still the rate per mile that you're able to pull with the flatbed is better than reefer and van, and but it only went down a penny. So you're at 244 per mile for all the way up to 823 of this month, and which is still a great number. At 244 per mile, reefer is at 228 per mile, and van is holding steady at $2 for a third week in a row at $2 per mile. And something I'll add to that about those rates is that that's the average overall of the 48 states, an average collection number of what the DAT is saying that's what the rate is. That's also including backhaul loads. A lot of backhaul loads are included into that, which is a lot of you guys that are listening to this podcast. Many of you, a very small percent of you, do backhaul. Many of you all survive and live off of the spot freight, loads from broker to broker. Some of you have some direct shippers, but very few of you all do truly backhaul loads. So for this to be, and this average that they're talking about, the spot van rates and the reefer rates, when they put those averages together, it's including the numbers also, including the backhauls, people that's doing the backhaul loads, which is, I think that's a very small percent as well. But if none of your loads are considered backhaul loads and all of them are spot freight loads that you run your company off of, then you should be above these numbers. You should always be able to maintain your average above those numbers that I just mentioned. I'll mention them again: $2 per van, reefers at 228, and flatbeds at 244 per mile. You should all be above that number. If you're not, then that's what this podcast is all about, is to help you get to those numbers. and maintain those numbers. And let's see here. We'll read something else here real quick. Off of, I'm just going to read verbatim what I got from the news feed, the email that I got from DAT. Van rates hold at $2 per mile week of August 17th to the 23rd. Van rates remain stable at $2 per mile as a national average for the third consecutive week, and reefer rates were unchanged at $2.28 per mile. Flatbed rates declined one-tenth to $2.44 per mile, basically everything I just mentioned. Let's see here. And that wraps up that. I don't know if we have any callers on at the moment. I think Rico has got a hired employee that's screening calls and going to bring on people if she has any. And if she does, feel free to bring them on at any time and we'll start talking to them. If not, then I'm going to bring on some I'll bring on some of the admins from the Rate for Mile Masters group. And if you have my phone number, feel free to call me, and I'll start talking to you about rates, whatever you want to talk about. Until then, I'm going to go over something else that a discussion that I started in the Rate for Mile Masters group, and I'll read it verbatim how I wrote it and go to that post. It's gotten a lot of attention ever since I've posted it, a lot of feedback from it, and it's an experience that I went through today. All right, here it goes. It has been over 2 years since, and I don't want to mention this broker's name. It's name calling, and I'm just going to steer away from that. So as I read this, I will be calling it a broker. It has been over 2 years since the last time I called on a blank broker load until today. It's a broker that I haven't used in over 2 years, and I'm going to explain the reason why I haven't used this broker. I had a carrier that I'm down where I had knee surgery, I'm dispatching for some carriers that I'm friends with, and I had a carrier that I dispatched for wanting to go to Montana, and the pickings were slim so I made the call and got the load, but not the rate sheet. All right, so I called on this load from this broker that I haven't called on in over 2 years. I got a carrier that needs to get to Montana, and going to Montana, there's very few loads going in, there's very few loads going out, but I was going to see if I can make it work, and this one broker had the only load posted. And so without reading it, I'm just going to talk about it. So anyway, I called the broker, and we negotiated the rate and did everything we needed to do, and now it just comes down to waiting on the rate sheet from this broker. And during the meantime, time is going by, and I'm not getting the rate sheet, but I get a call from C.A. Trumpson. I will mention their name because I really like them, and they've done me right in the past. C.A. Trumpson calls me and offers me a glory load, the glory of all glory loads. But I gave my word, and I told this other broker that that I was on their load and that we're just waiting on a rate sheet. But at this point, a whole entire hour has passed by, and I still have not received a rate sheet. So at this point, without receiving a rate sheet, I started thinking back why I haven't used this broker in over 2 years. And one of the reasons why I haven't used this broker in over 2 years is because this broker, 2 years ago, I went through the same situation with them before where we lost the load in, and a huge amount of time, the broker was saying he's having problems with this computer, problem after problem, and I was waiting a whole lot of time on receiving the rate sheet, and I can't move until he gives me the rate sheet. And so I checked over two years ago, I checked DAT where I found the load, and just checked to see what was going on, see if the broker's reposted the same load again. Sure enough, same load then was reposted, meaning that this broker is avoiding me, and he's shopping for another carrier that he can that he can find that'll do it cheaper than the price that he gave it to me for. That pretty much did it for me and the reason why I haven't used them in over 2 years until now. And going over an hour, I got the C.H. Robinson load that's paying really good going to Montana. I mean, it's paying a whole lot better than the other load. And it's been over an hour and a sudden got the rate sheet. So I look at the load board, DAT. I look at the Trucker's Edge. I look, which is the same thing as DAT. I refreshed it and seen if there was any other loads that were picking up in the location where the carrier was, where the driver was, and going to where that driver wanted to go. It was that same load that I'd called on and was negotiating with. I started my negotiation process with from the broker that I haven't gotten the rate sheet from. Had a time of only 9 minutes that same load had been reposted, and here it is again. This broker has posted that load that I'm waiting on a rate sheet. Tell them to eat something. I can't take their load because I'm waiting on this load that I gave them a word on, and they've refreshed it looking for another driver. This is the same thing. I stopped. The reason why I quit over 2.5 years ago, the reason why I quit using them, and here they are doing it to me again. So, long story short, the carrier that I dispatched for, he's on the Glory load right now as we speak, and I called back the broker and let him know that the reason why I took the driver off of it. Now, I've put this discussion up on the Raping My Masters group and gotten a lot of feedback. A lot of people agree with what I've done. I haven't seen anybody disagree with what I've done, and a lot of people actually think that I waited way too long by waiting for over an hour to have pulled the plug on it. I'm glad Chief Robinson had a backup plan for me on that issue. But that was a situation that I had today. And if we have any callers, go ahead. If we have any callers on, they can feel free to on. And if not, I'll keep talking about race and lanes because I can do this all day long. But tonight, being Rico's not here, I'm only going to give it an hour. And I'll go through some of the hot states. And another post that I made earlier today was about I got someone calling right now. Hold on, let's bring them on.
Hey, Chad. You hang up
all
on
right.
me?
So, no. Are you there?
Yeah, hey, this is George. How's it going?
Hey, George, how you doing?
Oh, pretty good.
Okay, no, great. I was able to bring during that slight moment there, I was able to bring on another guest as well, which is Olivia. But I'm glad
okay.
I have both of you on. So I got both of you on here.
Hi,
so
Olivia.
Let's go.
Hi, George. How are you guys?
I'm doing good. I want to make a brief comment about that experience you were talking about today with that broker. You're a lot more patient with them than I am. Don't feel the least bit guilty or anything like that or feel like you're going through a dilemma. I mean, what that broker tried to pull, that's karma. And it turned around and, it bit him in the ass.
Yeah.
It didn't make you wait for an hour on a rate sheet. That's ridiculous.
Absolutely.
I mean, if it was me personally, I'd write them off. I'd never call them again. I won't even call certain brokerage firms because of stuff their brokers have pulled on me or, I don't know. I'm just a lot less patient than you are.
Well, I was in this situation here. I was being very patient. And reason being is, I'm working for, I'm dispatching another carrier. So I have to, put aside my thoughts a little bit and try to do what's best for them. If it was me, I know how I would have, I probably would have handled it a little bit different. But then, the ultimate goal here is, this guy wants to get to Montana. If I don't secure a load for him, then, he was already making plans on renting a car and driving 1,000 miles out to Montana to where he wanted to go. And this was the only load. I mean, you know, this is the only load that's going to get him there and put some money in his pocket going there. So once C.H. Robinson, once they gave me that backup plan, and they were pretty much begging me because who else is going to want to go to Montana? And plus, they were offering a great rate doing it. I kicked it into overdrive, and I'm like, well, let's look and see here. Did they turn around and repost the load again? Please don't tell me that they've done it again. That over 2.5 years ago when I quit using them, they're going to up and do it again. And sure enough, they did. I was crushed that someone would do that, you know, that they would up and try that with me, you know. And but it happened. So,
I've had brokers call, and they'll ask me, you know, they're really desperate for a load, but they want to run a price past their customer. And I can tell on the ones that they're using that as a sales tactic or if they're serious. And generally they'll say something, you know, like, can you hold that truck for me for 5 minutes? If we've negotiated all other things, I don't think that that is unreasonable to ask for 5 minutes. Maybe I'm nicer than some. But the point, I think, where you've gotten and they're not sending, or I'm sorry, you've agreed on something and they're not sending. Is that 10 minutes? Is it 15? I mean, forms that each broker has saved on their computer or should have saved take longer than that information. I think it will do in a reasonable amount of time. I may call and just say, hey, did you send that? Can you resend that to me? And if they still can't do it, then I need to move on. But I think it's a complete slap in the face when you see them posting that load. And at that point, I don't think you really owe them. They've negotiated a rate with you. They've agreed on it. And now they're reposting that load to see if they can get it cheaper. I don't really think that you owe them anything.
Yeah, well, I was sort of going to say sorry, but then I took it back and I was like, no, I even said I'm not sorry that it happened. It is what it is, you know. You refresh it, and they're trying to get out of it and say, oh, because of this and because of that, and we don't know what's going on. Okay, well, I do know what's going on, and you know, I've been doing this for a while, and I understand what's going on, and nobody else plays this game with me, and I'm definitely not going to. Allow you to play the game with me as well. I will say that Olivia is not too far from where I'm at in the same town, and I'm sure where I'm at, she's having the same thunderstorm as, that I'm getting, and you're probably hearing some disruption in our conference call, the podcast that we're doing right now. Forgive us for that. Hopefully this storm will blow over and we can get better reception. George, what's been going on? Do you have anything else you want to add?
No, I just had a quick comment about what you opened with regarding that broker. I'm just kicking back at the house. I got some appointments tomorrow and Friday. If I find something good, I'm going to take it. If not, I'm just going to enjoy this holiday weekend.
Well, it brings up another great point, George. And hopefully we've got quite a bit of people listening to this because it's another thing that I brought up. And you mentioned, you made a comment as well. Which is I like your plan the most, you know, and the way you've set yourself up. And that is that that this is going to be a long weekend. Monday is a holiday. And going into Friday, wherever you deliver Friday is going to be critical on the next 4 days, how the next 4 days is going to play out for you. And getting yourself into a really great spot if you're going to be working with brokers and negotiating loads and working off the load board, being in a really great spot on Friday that you're delivering to that really good spot is going to be paramount because it's going to dictate on the next 4 days of your employment if you're not running. Well, and George, you mentioned that you're close enough to the house. You know, if you get the rate that you're looking for, you'll run, and if you don't, then you'll stay at home, which that's the ultimate plan to be the position to be in. Some people don't have that choice. Some people, they have to run, you know, because they haven't gotten to that level yet where they can choose to take off time or not.
Yes.
Let me ask you a question about that. You two probably know much better than I do. While we haven't had our authority very long, we've had it for a little bit, but it's not been very long, not long enough to follow the trends and things. I got a really great load today heading out, going down to Atlanta. I'm hoping to get the driver back up this way towards, like, you know, the Midwest, Kentucky, something like that for Friday. He'll be home at that point. So, like you said, I think that's a good position. If something comes up, great. If not, you're at home. But for some of, like, the newer folks out there following these trends and things, what can you expect for this holiday? Is it going to be sort of like the 4th of July where no shippers are running? And also, does this holiday sort of mark traditionally the pickup of freight volume in the industry?
Well, I'll say that over a long weekend, over the holidays, for me, more times than not, I usually if I'm not set up in a really good place, let's say like Friday, because that's, you know, the last day that you know, a lot of people's going to be taking off that Monday, and if you're not positioned right, if you're able to take advantage of it, you'll be able to make money. You'll turn out okay. If I have the option and it's a holiday coming up, I want to be home. I want to be home. I want to be doing what George is doing. I'm at home. I'm on base. I like home, and it costs money to get me to leave home. Especially over a holiday weekend like that. And a lot of people also will leave early on Friday. I never have luck when it comes to holiday weekend, and especially if you're somewhere where it's not in your favor, like the ratios where it's not a good area. You're up in the wherever a state that doesn't have a good ratio, the amount of loads coming in is greater than the amount of loads coming out, and you're coming up on a holiday weekend. You're gonna hate life. It's not gonna be good. You know, the rates are not gonna be there for you. Loads are gonna be slim pickings, and people are gonna start going home early on Friday. In a situation like this, that's been my experience. I've seen times where it hasn't been like that. A couple of those times has been when they're around Thanksgiving and Christmas. But all the other holidays, I just haven't had the luck. And you can, George, you're still on here. You can give your opinion about that as well.
Well, I'm Olivia. I'm still learning about the trends and markets, that stuff myself. I've had my authority for a long time, but I've always been a carrier that stays closer to home. And now I'm just starting to venture out with this stuff, so I'm still learning myself.
I will. I'll give a rundown here real quick of states that would be gold, you know, the golden states to be in come Friday for your load over the long weekend, and that would be Arkansas. My pick of states would be Arkansas, Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, Minnesota, Missouri. These are all banned states that would be my pick states to be in, and Ohio, Wisconsin. Now I'm going to mention two more states that you should pay attention to that there's great activity going on. Would I feel safe about being there on Friday? Probably not, but these two states have great things going on with them, and these two states are Pennsylvania and New York. Believe it or not, New York is on my list of states that I wouldn't be scared to go to, but not on a Friday. They're just showing really good numbers right now for this time of the year. If you separated the states into three categories and you categorized which states and you said states that has the most volume, states and then the second part of the states that are in the medium at volume of freight leaving the states, and then the lower half, New York would be on that top echelon of having the most freight being posted leaving that state. And then if you do the same thing as far as loads coming into the state and loads coming out of the state, New York has also falls in that category of the percent, 138% for New York when I did this, and Pennsylvania's coming at 130%. That was banned. Let's don't be podcast and only talk about van, let me run down here reefer real quick and tell you what I think about reefer. Arkansas, Iowa, Idaho, Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, Minnesota, Missouri, Washington, and Wisconsin. And I just pulled another truck, a team that I had in Wisconsin, and good Lord, did my phone never stop ringing. Cheese and potatoes, and I pretty much was able, $357 a mile down to Cincinnati out of Wisconsin is what I was able to pull one of my teams out there with. A glory load. I mean, I could have just the rates were phenomenal coming out of Wisconsin. I got to experience that yesterday. And Minnesota's got some great stuff going on there as well. Michigan, it's been doing really great for the last 2 weeks. Illinois, Indiana, they haven't, they're just now in this past 2 weeks starting to show really good signs of some good things going on. Idaho, last week I pulled I negotiated on some loads coming out of Idaho. There's a lot of volume, a lot of bulk with hill loads. They're still stuck on that. Potatoes for reefer, has guys that do reefer knows a whole lot more about this stuff than I do, but things I learned about dispatching a truck that was in Idaho was potatoes have a long shelf life. They have the volume there for the potatoes, but if they don't find someone that'll move it for, say, $2.25 a mile, then they'll wait till next week and they'll keep waiting because the potatoes, there's just no demand for it and has a long shelf life as well. Let's get the flatbed here real quick, and I don't have these marked, so I might be a little slower about this. Alabama, Arkansas, and Georgia, Louisiana, Mississippi, North Carolina, Oklahoma, South Carolina, Virginia. Those would be the flatbed states. Flatbed states, my pick, great states to be in on a Friday, looking for a long weekend, 4-day weekend run. Those would be the states that I would choose for. And I'll go into a little bit more detail about this on the group. I'll make a post, and it's a post that I do every week. I haven't done it this week, but I'll do it as soon as we get down with the podcast here, and so you can see. See there tomorrow when you go to negotiate your loads as we get closer to Friday, you'll see the states that I've done the ratios with that I think that are good, that are doing average, and states definitely you need to stay away from. Anything y'all want to add to that? I still got George and Olivia on there.
I want to say you were talking about Pennsylvania and New York. One thing that I noticed there is that those brokers seem to, and I think the Northeast is especially slick about this, slicker than other brokers in other parts of the country, in my opinion. The loads that are up there, you know, one of the articles that I read last week said something about to try to get around the driver shortage, some of these brokers are pre-planning these loads, and sometimes as much as a week in advance. And I've noticed that one of the trends that I noticed lately up there was that they've got a lot of time on this, and I've heard a lot of people say, oh, well, we wouldn't want to be sitting in the Northeast on a Friday. But I've actually noticed that on a Friday, they start to, you know, come up off of the rates. The rates tend to come up a little bit. But I notice here, especially if you have a reefer or vented van, there is a lot of stuff, and I don't know what produce, it's beyond me to even guess, but there is a lot of stuff coming out of Delaware right now. And it's paying about $4 a mile on some of this stuff going up, you know, to other parts of the Northeast, sometimes out of the Northeast, whatever's coming out of there. But, and while places like Massachusetts, Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, that stuff, the rates might be really horrible, the volume's really low, too many trucks right now, I'd say don't even be afraid to go up as far as, you know, Pennsylvania, New York, because it has not been miserable getting out of there for us at all. We've probably been up there for the last week and a half, and we've actually been doing, you know, pretty steady, doing really well.
But yeah, great stuff. I missed out on a little bit of that. And you know, this is the only time of the year where, and it doesn't go on for very long, but this is the only time of the year where you start seeing the Northeast the numbers start doing a little bit better. I mean, and it's great because so many people will continue to be scared to go up there. But when you start seeing the ratios like we're seeing right now where the volume is good, the ratio is good, there's more coming out of the Northeast than there is going in, this is the time to jump in on the good stuff. You can still get a $3 mile load going in, and you can probably still and do really good coming out as well. Definitely a good time to take advantage of it. Whether it's a good time to do it on a holiday weekend on a Friday, not sure about that.
I don't know that I'd recommend that on the holiday weekend. There. But here lately, it hasn't been bad going up there. The one thing I would like to figure out, though, as you move forward or you have some other callers, if any of them can answer the question for me, maybe somebody who's out here a little longer, as you move forward, the thing that I'm hoping to hear tonight is what signals the increase in freight volume or when does that begin to happen? So if any as you talk to them, if they know the answer to that, I'd love it. I'd love if someone can tell me.
Well, I tell you what, you were talking a while ago, Olivia. And that was a part of your question earlier that you were talking about, and never did get to it. But while you were talking, I was able to bring on a Rick from the admin of the Rate Mile Masters, and he's on the line now. And I would like to see, and being that Rick is a broker. I would like to get his opinion on that. I believe he might be able to give you some insight on that type of question. What do you think, Rick?
Well, again, I'll say it again. I've only been a broker for a short time, but I've been a broker through two holidays now. And I don't know if there's a specific signal, but I know, like today, our phones didn't ring not one time. And I went to on DAT and ITS and started actually calling trucks for loads. I had, loads that were going just about 1,000 miles posted for $5,000. I didn't get a single call. And I got a hold of probably three or four trucks, and they all said they weren't looking to move today. And I kind of knew why, but I wanted to poke and prod and get more info. And I said, well, mind sharing why you're not moving today? He says, because tomorrow the rates are going to increase. And I says, okay, well, what makes you so sure of that? And he basically told me flat out, he says, because people are going to want their stuff moved over the holidays and we can charge them whatever we want. And so you get into a point where you're like, well, you can't really deny it. It's going to happen. And so my $5,000 load might turn into a six or seven tomorrow simply because market's going to demand it.
Great stuff.
Is there a time, though, Rick, that you start to see? I hear a lot of people say that after, the September 1st holiday, is there a time of year that you notice is sort of the real tipping point for when freight picks up for the holidays? Is it usually the first week after the Labor Day, or is it, a month? Do you know for sure when is that point where we start to pick up? And is it going to happen, like, suddenly? Is it going to be a big increase, or is it going to be a slow, gradual thing?
I haven't been in the business for long enough to notice trends, but I do know what I'm being taught and what I'm being told. And it kind of plays along the same lines as when is the first snow going to come. You really don't know, but you got a general idea of when things are going to pick up. And so we know that between this time and this time, it's going to start picking up. I'm guessing probably mid-September is when, big stuff is going to start picking up. Everyone's going to start doing the getting ready for holiday season and sending stuff off. So stores can backlog all their product to have stuff in store for all these events. So a specific sign, I haven't seen it, but I just have, the inkling of when it might or may happen.
Thank you. I mean, I know I've I've been looking forward to that only because in our particular situation, I tend to run team with my husband. And here lately, with the drop in freight in August, you know, after the 4th of July, it really just hasn't justified having of us on the truck. So I'm just going a little stir crazy, really hoping September 1st to start to pick up here soon.
Yeah. And I just wanted to make a quick little comment. I'm still learning names and everything. Someone was mentioning what lanes are hopping right now, and Washington was mentioned for reefer. We also, Pacific Northwest in general, is opening their produce season right now. So Eastern Oregon, Eastern Washington, Idaho, big for potatoes and onions right now. So it's a good
apples.
Spot to be. And apples.
Too, right?
I forgot all about that. But, yeah, apples also. So if you're stuck in the Pacific Northwest, let me know. I'll get you out of here.
There you go. And you can find Rick on the Rate for My Masters group. He is an admin, a great guy. I haven't got to do a whole lot of talking with Rick yet. But I'm excited about getting to know more about Rick and what he does, and doing more of these podcasts with Rick. He's gonna bring a lot to the group and to the podcast as well, to the people that call in and be able to help us answer some questions that maybe others carriers might not be able to help you with. We can get a broker's point of view of some of this stuff as well, or what Rick sees as well. If Rico's got an assistant, and at any time if we have another call that's ready to jump on, go ahead and you can bring any of those people on at any time. Or right now would be a good time if you have anyone. Give it a moment. I don't know if she has anybody or not. I'm not able to see it at the moment. I talked to Kevin Russell today. Yes, yes.
We have a caller from 661.
Okay, bring him on. Let's talk to him.
Okay.
Caller, you're on if you can hear us. What's your name and where are you calling from? I don't think we got him on. Going once. If you can bring that person on, great. If not, then we'll continue talking. Going once, going twice. I guess they're having problems bringing that person on.
Okay,
is that the only
have
person
another
we have? Another
no,
one?
We have
okay,
another
bring them on.
941.
Okay.
941.
Hey, guys, this is Kenny. How you doing?
Great, Kenny. How you doing?
Doing pretty good. Kind of had an answer to Olivia's question about when our rate's going to pick back up. If you guys remember, I was on the call with Rico, I think the week before the 4th of July. And it's been a weird year, and I remember asking him back then what he thought was going to happen, and he had his hopes high that it never would have took this dive that it took. And it kind of held out. Usually, you know, the 4th of July weekend is it, and that following week it shuts off and tapers down. This year it seemed like it went for another week and a half, and then it just shut off like a light switch. It was kind of strange this year. It kind of held people out and got people's hopes up to stick it out. But usually what happens with the 4th of July is the traditionally, the auto industry shuts down, retooling for the year. You've got a lot of factories and suppliers. Most people tend to take their summer vacations in July. So things get slow in July traditionally. Going into August, it stays kind of slow, kind of tapers out. And if you watch the trend lines, you can see that van is pretty much flatlined for the past 2 weeks at $2 a mile. Reefer kind of gone up maybe a penny or two, and then same with flatbed, but it's kind of been stagnant for the past couple of weeks. It's pretty traditional. But this week, and then after this holiday coming up, nationwide, kids are going back to school, which means summer vacations are over. People are going back to work. They're, you know, things are going to start picking up again. But it does take a couple of weeks for that to catch up to our industry. So you'll start to see things start to taper up traditionally. Mid-September toward the end of September, but you won't see it come back on like a light switch like it went back off. You're going to slowly start to see it climb back up. I would say before, you know, the rates that we saw pre-4th of July, we're not going to see those again until we're well into October, but you should, you know, mid-September start to see things start climbing again. That's what I would expect.
Right, and I think you and I talked about that. before about the auto industry shut, you know, how they re-inventory and all of that. I was sort of trying to get a feel for, you know, what signifies each carrier, you know, that the rates are coming back in their experience or in their experience, when has that traditionally happened for them? I know one great indicator that I got is, and, you know, as far as the back to school, I think most of the kids are back. I think some of the northern schools will start back around the 2nd, something like that. The back to school stuff has already hit the stores. So I doubt, you know, that's gone and done. I don't think that made a huge wave for us. But I know I've heard some people say that when you start to see the pumpkins and the Halloween candy, then freight is back.
Right, and if you ever notice now.
I've made that comment before, and that is true. And that's going to be the next thing that you see. New Mexico, you're going to start to see a whole lot of volume coming out of New Mexico. Most of those loads will be pumpkins. But, I've noticed that in the past that as we get into October and like Rick was talking about apples and some of the some of that stuff coming out of the northwest, we'll start doing really great. That's my hottest lane. As we get into the cold and as it gets colder, that's the hottest lane. I burn it up all year long, every year. It's like a hidden secret that I have found that I can get great rates out of Kentucky going to the northwest, and when I get up there, it just keeps getting better and better until after January. February, it starts slowing down a little bit. And then they get into grass season and start picking up again. But, I would agree with Rick. You know, you just got to chase where the market is and go where that kind of stuff is going on.
Well, if you ever notice going into any holiday, we're coming into what will be, you know, talking about pumpkins and things for Halloween. Well, you've got the candy and all that stuff. Typically, you'll see that stuff, you know, in the stores on the shelves already by late September, and that'll be the things that we start seeing pick back up. And if you notice at any holiday, so we've got pumpkins moving for, you know, the end of October. You'll have Christmas trees, which are another high dollar one that move, you know, coming into the end of December. You know, coming into the 4th of July, the reason we saw rates just skyrocket a couple of weeks before the 4th of July or for Memorial Day are watermelons. So whenever you have those seasonal type of things for a specific holiday, you'll see a spike like that. And one of the trends that has been happening over the past decade or so, I would say, is retail stores are starting to stock their shelves earlier and earlier. I've already seen some of the stuff that's, you know, like the pumpkins and scarecrows and things like that in stores. You know, that stuff's already on the shelves. So that keeps, you know, when they spread the distribution of that out so far, that keeps a spike from happening. Now, one thing that they can't prevent always is the Christmas rush holiday stuff, because that stuff typically has to, you know, they've got all the special sales, they've got special products for certain stores and so forth. And so a lot of the industry will shift toward moving and supplying retail markets. Well, right now, all the big fleets that traditionally are moving the automotive stuff, well, the automotive industry has been slow over the summer, so they're sucking up all the freight off the spot market that the rest of us compete with. Well, they're going back to work now because the automotive is going back full swing. And so the fleets are out of our way to do what we need to do on the spot market. And then when all these holidays start rolling in, that allows us to bring the rates on the spot market back up to where we like to see them.
Yeah, Sam's Club, they've already got Christmas decorations. Hey, I can't remember her name, but if we have any, we got like 15 more minutes left. If we have anybody else that's on, in the queue ready to come on, we can go ahead and bring on another person here.
Okay.
And while we're bringing someone in, I'd like to just add a little tidbit to, I believe it was Kenny, was saying about hot times in the Pacific Northwest. I've got about 20, 25 places that I do business with up here, Washington, Oregon, Idaho, and they said that their crops are blooming late, so the Pacific Northwest is probably, they said, late March. So it's going to last even longer this year, on this season, up here, so keep that in mind.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's good info to know. Great stuff to know. That means that path that I like to run up to the northwest is going to stay hot for a little bit longer. It's going to continue to make good money. Rick, broker mostly reefer, van, or flatbed? What do you mostly broker?
Truthfully speaking, I like to say if it fits on a truck, I'd like to ship it. I do have a lot of flatbed customers and a lot of reefer customers. Like someone said earlier, during watermelon season, I do a lot of vented van stuff for those short mile hops for watermelons. But as it gets warmer down south, they like to put those on reefers also. So, I mean, I can move some flatbed stuff, onions and steel and whatnot, but mostly during produce season, I do a lot of produce.
A lot of produce, yeah. Well, I got another question for you. What trailer will have the most urgency, meaning flatbed? I'm going to let y'all talk for a moment. I'm taking a call. But I was going to ask, hold on 1 second. Y'all go ahead and continue talking. I'm going to take this call real quick.
Well, as for what trailers gets preference, if someone calls in and, you know, and tells me, hey, I got a load of onions going out and it's a bag rate, you know, if it's a big order, I'd like to put a flatbed on it, because a flatbed can carry, you know, 900 bags of onions. But they can't haul apples or potatoes or anything because they're not protected. So onions, a flatbed would be a preference, but mostly any other produce, reefer gets first shot.
Yeah.
And Rick, you mentioned something about if the loads weren't, and this was on I think I talked to you earlier in the week on a personal level, you mentioned something about those loads, the overflow can go into, was it vans or vented vans, as long as it wasn't going to the south, as long as the temps weren't expected to get too high.
Yeah, I've had watermelons. I've had potatoes. Potatoes can go on a vented van if it's a short hop. Coming out of, you know, Montana and Wisconsin and stuff like that, if they go too far south, the customers won't allow them to be on a vented van just simply because they can't keep them cool enough when the temperatures pick up.
All right. Great stuff. Did we have anybody else that's in the queue ready to come on?
We have a caller from Area Code 470.
470? Okay, let's bring them on. Let's talk to them. Let's see if we can ask answering their questions. I want Rick and Olivia, I want y'all to continue to maintain, stay on here with me. And George, I think George is still on here. George, you still with us? Guess not. Anyway, all right. So, caller that just joined, where are you calling from and what's your name?
Hey, it's Derek out of Carrollton, Georgia. How are you?
Oh, great. Is this Derek the one that I talked to quite a bit?
Yeah, that's me.
All right, cool.
It looks, I posted earlier on your thread there about where to be positioned on Friday, and I'm going to happen to be in Binghamton, New York, which is right on the border of Pennsylvania and New York. So I've been turning down a lot of loads, hoping that Friday is going to be the day to pick a load, getting out of there and heading, you know, south or west a little bit. Just wanted your advice on that.
Dry van, right?
Yeah, dry van.
Dry van. And you're going to be offloading up in that area on Friday?
Yeah, Friday morning, 8 a.m. I'll be right there on the border of New York and Pennsylvania.
Well, I hit on it a little bit earlier, and then it was showing that it's right there on that, you know, New York and Pennsylvania is showing better than average, better than it ever does. It's actually in my percentile of loads of states that I wouldn't mind going to. Do I
right.
trust it to be there? Do I trust it to be in that area this Friday? This Friday we're for the long holiday weekend. I've had so much bad luck up in that area that, and I don't like going to the Northeast that much, and don't have that much practice going up there. I'm sort of hesitant about putting myself in that area like you have done with yourself. Do I think things will turn out bad for you? No, I think if you stick to your, I think you got a good shot at doing at producing decent numbers coming out of that area just by the volume of freight that's coming out of that area. Olivia just had a truck up in that same area, and she's been turning. Me and Olivia's been talking this week, and she's been doing great up in that area, especially with the short. And another trick is with the Northeast is the short runs up there pay phenomenal. Even when the Northeast isn't producing good numbers, if you do the little short runs, the 100 and 200 and 300 mile runs, they still pay really great. You can get $4 a mile round trip runs up in that area, or $2 a mile round trip makes it $4 a mile. You can get those type of rates up in that area quite a bit, and that's the experience I've noticed that when I go up there, it's just when I get up there, it doesn't take long for me to want to get out of there. That's an option
yeah.
you can always explore.
I've seen that there's been a lot of loads posted since even the last 2 days. As far ahead as Friday, there's been a lot of loads posted. I've called on a lot, but can't get people to come off of, you know, a little better than $2 a mile. And I'm thinking that this is the weekend to get a lot better numbers than that.
Derek, those brokers up there are going to be your slicker salesmen than any other brokers. I've just noticed Friday tends to get a little bit better. You said you're in Binghamton. I know if you can get down to, like, somewhere around, like, if you're heading more towards Scranton, something like that, that's a good area. Rates are going to get better by Friday. The one thing about those brokers is they're not going to play with you. If they've got a rate that is going to be a good one, they're gonna call you up and give it to you. It's just waiting for that to happen. I start to notice that the later in the week and the later in the day, the more likely you are to get those rates. On the other hand, I had a broker call me up the other day before I could even post myself offering me something $4 a mile. Chad's right. Oh, you're going to do better on some of that shorter stuff. But just keep this in mind. If all else fails, and I told my husband this earlier in the week, each state up there is about the size of a postage stamp. So even if one state has some good numbers, you've got this influx of drivers from the next nearest state coming over because their state's not doing so well. They want to try to get some of the freight out of your state, which has better numbers. A great place to be, I think, if all else fails, is going to be getting down around Philadelphia, Trenton, New Jersey, something like that. And the reason being is this. The good numbers out of there right now are showing in New York, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and, you know, Delaware. If someone has anything further north than that, it has been horrible. Although they're trying to suck you in with some $4 rates to get up to Massachusetts, you're not going to get out of there on that. So just know that don't let that rate suck you further north. But if you can get down to about that Philadelphia, Jersey area, I like to think that was pretty good this week. And the reason being is, for some of those bad states to have to deadhead to where you're at, they've got to come more than 150 miles to get to you. You've gotten over that state's the size of a postage stamp hurdle. Not many people are going to deadhead 300 miles to get to the good area. So if you can get in and around there, even that northwestern Pennsylvania, you're starting to do a little bit better, and you've overcome that hurdle with the other guys trying to come into your area.
Well, I'm real close to Scranton and to Syracuse, and that whole stretch of 81. I'd like to stick to 81 as much as possible, stay out of the hustle and bustle. But I've done well. I've come up here 3 weeks in a row, and I've done well going in and coming out. I've got myself there Friday morning. My question is, should I bite on a load tomorrow morning if it's a good number, or do I wait till Friday and get that desperate broker load.
That's a really good question. And Olivia, you hit on some really great stuff there. And that is a great question. And I'm 50-50 on it. I don't. And the reason why I'm 50, I would most of the time tell you to. For me personally, I'm the risk taker. I'll wait up until the last 30 minutes up until 4 o'clock before I'll. We got 90 seconds here, and it's going to wrap. It's going to take us off air. But it sounds like. But anyway, Derek, great question. That's going to be a call, and I'll try to talk to you more in the group about this.
Okay.
I'm more of the risk taker. I like to wait up to the last minute to Friday. If you come across something that you feel good about tomorrow, then go ahead and secure it. But feel good about it because. And the thing, 60 seconds. Anybody want to add to that before we?
Yeah, Rick would like to add that on holiday seasons like or weekends like this. I will give my better rates on Thursday so I know the loads are covered and not have to scramble for a truck to call me on Friday. So that's my take on the Thursday-Friday thing.
With that being said, hey, it's been a great podcast. I love doing this. I'm glad that I was able to do this for Rico. Next week I'm going to be doing a podcast that's working with brokers. That'll probably be on Thursday at 7, and Rico's podcast will be at the same time, 7 o'clock on Wednesdays, and we might be doing that together back and forth. 10 seconds. All right, we've got 10 seconds. And I want to thank the admin from the Rate for Mile Masters group for coming on here and helping me answer some of these questions from these guys that's called in and providing your advice and feedback for the podcast. Great having you on, and that'll be it for today. Thanks a lot, guys. Bye.